You're listening to the LifeSpring Church podcast. For more information about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
So we've come today, or coming today, to the end of our study of Ephesians. And over the months, we've been looking at some of the amazing revelation revealed in what I think is one of my favourite books in the Bible. We started by reminding ourselves of the blessings of the gospel. Well, Paul was reminding us of the blessings of the gospel. We've been chosen. We've been adopted as his sons, his children. We've been redeemed. We've been forgiven. Sealed with the Holy Spirit. And, well, there was a whole chapter on all of that. And we saw that, incredibly, the church of which you and I are part, we're now the people of God. We've been grafted in. It's one new man comprising Jew and Gentile. Not as an afterthought, but actually at the center of God's plans and purposes for planet Earth. Isn't that amazing? You've been grafted in. We've been grafted in to those plans and those purposes. And then we got practical. In view of this incredible gospel, in view of this incredible privilege and calling, Paul says, be humble. Make every effort to maintain unity. Receive the gifts that the ascended Christ has given to us, the gifts of apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists, so that there's a strong foundation that we can be built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, in order that we may become mature and strong. And then we're reminded, don't be greedy. We live in a part of the world where the richest 95% of the world live. And it's so easy. The more we have, the more we want. Paul says, don't be greedy. Don't be sexually immoral, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let Christian marriage reflect God's love. There's order in marriage. And Paul says the mystery of marriage, it illustrates somehow the love of Jesus for his church in the same way that husbands love wives. And then we looked at the protection available to us as Christians to withstand the enemy. And Dan had been talking about the armor of God. And I just want to pick up on that last bit, just add a little bit more to it, and then we'll just go on to the final few verses. So this is from the Message, Ephesians 6, verse 10. So that about wraps it up, Paul tells us. That's what we're doing today. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use. It's no good just understanding about spiritual warfare if we don't use the weapons which he's given us. And we'll touch on it a bit, but Dan really covered that well anyhow. Put them to use so that you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. So be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. And yet some of us try to. In our own strength. Or when things are difficult, we withdraw from the people of God, which are there to support and strengthen and encourage us. And we try to handle things on our own in our little caves. No more, no more. We're here for each other. And he's given us weapons to fight. Take all the help you can. All you can get. Every weapon God has issued. So when that's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. So Dan spoke really well about these attributes. And that's probably the second time in 12 months that this emphasis has come to us. I do really believe the Lord is wanting to emphasize. He doesn't want us to be a weak church. He doesn't want us to be a church which just gets trampled over by the enemy. But he wants us to stand up and to fight and to be a victorious church. Because we're in a spiritual battle. And it's easy to forget that. You know, there's so many things come and clutter into our lives. We're just living to do and doing to live. But actually, whether we're aware of it or not, there's a spiritual battle raging around us and against us. On Thursday night, in our prayer time, for example, the Holy Spirit just showed us there were powerful spirits of rejection warring against us. What do I mean? Well, sometimes rejection is just that. We've been rejected, and that's horrible. And I guess all of us at some stage in our life have been rejected and felt rejection. But as we saw the other day, Jesus was rejected too, so that we could be accepted. He took rejection from us and released acceptance. But we've rejected people. And when we have, we need to repent and apologize. Because our call isn't to reject. Our call is to accept everyone. In fact, Jesus was condemned by the religious leaders of the time because he did accept everybody. In their view, the wrong types of people. He actually befriended the immoral and the greedy, whereas they wouldn't have anything to do with them, and they held them at arm's length and they judged them. And they would have felt totally rejected by the religious leaders of their time. But Jesus set a different example to us. He was actually known as a friend. Prostitutes and sinners. He accepted them. But for others, whether through past actions or of family or friends or not, there seems a spirit of rejection has come upon us. And however positive and friendly anyone else is, we still feel rejected. And because we feel rejected, our face and our mannerisms can reflect that also, making it even more difficult. And we either become so over the top and so loud and so in our face, people stand back a bit, or the opposite. We look so sad and miserable, and we're expecting rejection, and we're just ministering that to other people too. And so people keep their distance, and we perpetuate this sense of we're rejected. But on Thursday, there was a sense of powers of darkness coming against a friendly, relationship-emphasizing church. A spiritual thing, causing individuals to feel totally rejected. And Paul says, our fight's not against flesh and blood. It's not against individuals. It's not against people. But against those spiritual forces, bringing that sense of rejection over people's lives. So we prayed and we battled in prayer and we took authority over spirits of rejection. And I would expect to see a big difference in how people feel. It's a spiritual thing. And of course it needs practical application through love and acceptance. But it's an example of spiritual warfare. And just as I was thinking this morning about touching on that example from Thursday evening, I was feeling in cells, guys, life groups. Let's take that opportunity. Let's be real together. And where people have felt rejection in the past, I want us to pray and lift that off tangibly from them. So I feel we've dealt with a spiritual thing out there, but we've got to apply that into our lives and for people to accept that in their lives too. And let's deal with rejection. Can we do that in ourselves? And let's just release people to a place of love and acceptance, because he loves and accepts, and so we need to too. Okay, moving on. I love the way the message talks about the armor of God. It's how I would like to talk about it, really. And Dan used the illustrations, which some of us are quite familiar with. But basically, the armor of God, standing on God's word. Don't waver. Know his promises. Know his commands. Know the truth and obey. And as we do that, that's a weapon against the enemy. Apply the robe of righteousness. Apply, receive righteousness again. No condemnation, no guilt, no accusation. It has no part in you because you're in Christ. And Jesus has taken guilt and condemnation and all of that black, dark stuff and given us a robe of righteousness. And we need to live in that. We need to be able to come on a Sunday, but come anytime, and be able to lift up hands, holy hands to the Lord, because we know they've been washed clean. And the enemy may want to remind us of those slip-ups and those sins, and maybe they're big things, maybe they're small things, but as we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous and cleanses us so there's no accusation, no condemnation. That's a weapon, but it just needs to be applied into our lives. Take the good news of salvation everywhere you go. Dan reminded us, light up the office, light up the factory, light up the school or university or wherever you are. Let your presence, because you're carrying the presence of Jesus, bring light into darkness. Where there's hopelessness, you bring hope. Where there's misery, you bring joy. Where there's despair and anxiety, you bring peace. Yeah? This is a weapon, but I'm just putting it in different context or different words here. But that's what God is calling us to do everywhere we go. We take him with us and we change the atmosphere. We change the environment because it's his presence living through us. Faith. Raise that defense. I love the reminder from Dan when we saw all those Roman shields and that tortoise shield, that movement. It's a corporate aspect to this as well. We protect each other against those fiery darts. We're in this together. It's an army. It's not just a soldier. It's an army. And we need to raise faith in our hearts and not enable those darts to come into us, and we also protect those around us too. Hallelujah. And we don't allow negative or impure or untrue thoughts to tempt or trap us. We take thoughts captive. We protect our mind. We're careful what we look at, what we listen to, what we read. Isn't it tempting sometimes? I mean, I find sometimes I hear about a Christian leader. And I thought, oh, what is he doing? What's that? What's this, that, and the other? And before you get very far in Google, you find all of these, especially if they're successful, you find all of these negative, bad things about why they've been deceived and why blah, 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 blah. And isn't it tempting? You want to read that and find it all out? Well, it is to me sometimes. But don't do that. Anybody, from Jesus onwards, who's been successful in a God sense, has been criticized and has been pulled down and has been vilified by the church. Terrible. Let's be careful what we read and what we listen to and what we believe. And also about each other. Someone said to me the other day, said, Dad, do you know so-and-so and so-and-so? You know, they used to sleep with their boyfriend, so-and-so and so-and-so. They do this, that, and the other. I said, how do you know? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? I said, no, it's not obvious to me at all. Unless I hear that from their mouths, I don't accept that. I mean, I think some are a little bit foolish, maybe, in the same home and living in the same house, but, I mean, they've assured their cell leaders and that they're good. Well, don't think they should be doing that. It doesn't look so good, but I'm not going to point my finger at them unless they come and say, Nev, we've been messing up. I'm really sorry. I need to get this sorted out. And then I wouldn't tell anybody anyhow. We protect each other. We look after each other. We don't believe everything we hear. I believe good things. Somebody winning office to the Lord, I'd love to believe that. But even that, I probably want to get checked out too. So, okay, so that was all the spiritual warfare stuff. God's strong and he wants us strong. And we become strong when we live in and we apply these attributes. It's not the matter. I remember a friend of mine from a long time ago, he used to say, every time you get up in the morning, you know, put on the shoes shed by gospel of peace and put on the righteousness and put on the helmet. That might work for some people, but that 7 o'clock in the morning is not where it's all about. It's about applying it, living in the good of it, 24/7. 24/7. We allow these attributes to be our life and our lifestyle. Amen. So let's move on in the same way. Prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Or the more familiar passage, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And Paul says, pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. I could preach, or we could preach another sermon on prayer. I've done that many times, but I'm trying to not do that. I'll make a few points. But whether we're a new Christian or not yet Christian, or a long-time Christian, we all know prayer is important. You don't need me to tell you that again. And we need to pray. And for most of us will feel we probably aren't doing that as much as we should. So I don't want to bring any more condemnation in that respect. There's no point me reiterating that, but only doing it's doing it. Talk about prayer, we can do all these other things, but only doing it's doing it. You can use the Lord's Prayer as a model. We've done all that before. You can speak your own prayers. You can use prayers from the Bible, and there's some brilliant prayers in the Bible. You can use Jackie Netto's Grow prayer on our little phones. If you can just go to the Connect desk, and Jackie's produced every day, you know, aspects of, for us to pray, and you can use that. It can help pray. It can help you pray. It can help you connect. Help you bring things to the Lord. You know, that's a really good thing to do, and we'll be saying more about that at other times. But however we pray, Paul tells us it's essential in our ongoing warfare. In fact, you see, Dan's emphasis last week was so right on devotions. And I would say it's word and prayer. And prayer for me includes worship. And sometimes for me it includes sung worship. I just get my little guitar out and have a little bling in my own timing and nobody's worried about it. But it's making that connection. And that's why devotions are important, connecting with the Word of God and connecting with God through our own words and thoughts and prayer. And we meditate. And notice Paul says here, pray for the church. Pray for each other. Don't know what to pray for? Pray for me. Yes, pray for each other. Thank you, Alan. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up, so that no one falls behind or drops out. You can't pray for the whole church very well, but you can pray for yourself. You can pray for everybody in that little group. You can pray for your family, and you can pray for your leaders. But can I just share a perspective that I just feel needs our prayer? I so love this church. For me, best church in town. I love the people. I love the ministry. I love the worship. I could go on. But I've been stirred recently because there is so much more. And I feel we've lost or are in danger of losing something of God's heart for what he wants to do among us and through us. And our emphasis on winning souls and forming disciples and raising leaders is a gift and a calling God has given to LifeSpring. Now, in my view, every church should be doing that, but I'm not responsible for every other church. But he's shown us that that's important. And there's just this sense that if we're not careful, we can settle for good church, in quotes, without any of that. And we lose our cutting edge. We're not where God wants to take us. And one of the things I love about G12 and the conferences, they're encouraging, they're big envisioning, but there's always an edge to it. Like there was with Jesus, there's a radical side. There's a cost. There's commitment required. And I just want to say, LifeSpring, I don't want us to lose that edge. So we need to pray. We need to pray we don't. We can relegate what we call to G12 just to a cell church strategy. Rather than seeing its treasure, it's a heart, it's a passion, it's a vision, it's gold. And what we describe here in Reading as G12 isn't really it. We've scratched the surface. And that's why I want you to pray, because some of you might not know what I'm talking about. But can we pray that God reveals to us, gives us his heart, gives us his passion, brings us back to that first love, that love for Jesus. And when we love Jesus with everything, Jesus says, well, you'll do what I'm asking you to do then. Those that love me, obey me. And we'll be saying, it's not all about me, it's about him. And what does he want to do? So can I bring that to us? Can we pray? Pray for those new hearts, that new passion. Let's make him the highest priority. More important than our career, more important than our education, more important than finding a husband or finding a wife, more important than having children, more important than anything else you can think of. He's the top. He's the top. And then everything else, if we seek him, comes into order and comes into place. I've got 8 minutes left. So let's move on. Tychicus, my good friend here, will tell you what I'm doing, how I'm doing, and how things are going with me. He's certainly a dependable servant of the Master. I've sent him not only to tell you about us, but to cheer you on in your faith. Or, more familiarly, Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. And you're thinking, Nev, why are you just reading all those verses about this guy called Tychicus, which most of us have never even heard of? But actually, he's mentioned 5 times in the New Testament. And in some ways, he's just a name. But I think there's something I want to learn from this guy, Tychicus. We don't read that he had an office or he had a title or that he did amazing works, but this guy was pure gold, a gift for any team leader or pastor. And why do I say that? Because I think we can all be a Tychicus. You see, he was a valuable member of Paul's team, someone he could rely on. He was the one who seems to be sent to various cities on Paul's behalf. Paul was often in prison or maybe he was involved in ministry elsewhere, and he would send Tychicus to represent him. And he was able to share in detail to the churches that he went to, the trials as well as the joys of Paul's apostolic ministry. He would bring them up to date. He knew how Paul felt about situations. He knew his theology. He wasn't interested in putting Tychicus's theology. This is the theology that my apostle, my friend, my leader is preaching and teaching, and I'm preaching that too. He knew his stance on leadership. He knew his vision for the church. And although many left Paul at various times, it seems Tychicus was faithful. And look how Paul describes his friend. A dear brother, or as the message says, a good friend. A faithful or dependable minister. A fellow servant. You know, at the end of my days, I'd like that instead of me. I don't need to be called a this, that, and the other pastor or this, that, and the other leader. Just call me fellow servant, faithful minister, a good friend. Commendation, indeed. We don't need offices and we don't need titles to serve the Lord. If we at LifeSpring became a church full of Tychicuses, we would be in a good place. Because faithfulness, servanthood, and friendship are all close to the Lord's heart. So let me encourage you. You may aspire, I hope you do, to be a cell leader or a pastor or a teacher or a worship leader. That's all good. But let's start first of all with the heart of a servant. What can I do to serve? Many years ago, I remember a guy called Stuart came to the church, came from a bigger church, and he'd begun to preach a little at this other church. And within weeks of arriving, this gift from the Lord was offering himself to speak and to do the preaching and to lead. And I remember the elder, the leader at the time, saying, Stuart, why don't you just come early each week and you could just help set out some of the chairs that we need setting out. Well, he wasn't overly impressed with that response, and he felt that was rather too much to expect from this gift of the Lord which had come to Lifespring Church. He didn't hang around too much longer. There was a servant heart missing. I remember more recently a doctor of theology coming among us here, and he was looking for the same opportunities as Stuart. And I said to him, well, why don't you join a cell? Let's become accountable. Actually, maybe there's some practical ways you could serve on Sunday. Kate's mentioned some of them already. And the answer was, Pastor Neville, I'm far too qualified to do such jobs. And yet, Jesus, the Son of God, was prepared to wash his disciples' feet. They felt too qualified for that. But Jesus modeled something different because he was secure in who he was. He knew who he was. Washing feet didn't make him feel the lowest of the low, but he came to serve. And I want to say, Lifespring, please aspire to lead and to preach and to have cells and to do all this other stuff. But let's check our hearts that there's a heart to serve. And where there's practical things that need doing, I would like Mackenzie to have such a list of people that she doesn't know where to put them all, because there's so many people wanting to get here early or stay a little bit longer on Sundays or whatever it might be, because I've got a heart to serve too. Amen. I see that in Tychicus. He was a man who was willing to serve. Let's move on. He was faithful and dependable. When Tychicus said he would, Paul didn't have to chase around or remind. He knew his yes was yes. And if he said he'd do it, he knew that was going to be the case. What a joy that is to any leader, to any duty manager or whoever else. We need to be totally reliable. And if we can't, having said we will, we swap, or at the very least we communicate, but we don't just disappear, we don't just not turn up. And you know, I used to work in a building society, and I was one of the most efficient in the building society. And I got commended for that. And yet my memory wasn't the best. So what did I do? Every time I knew there was a job to do, I'd write it in the diary. 2 weeks' time remind, you know, and it would be on there. That's what I do now as well, little list of reminders on my phone here. Because I haven't got the best memory, but I want to be faithful. I want to be dependable. I want somebody to know, if Nev says yes, Nev will be there. And we can all be like that too. And these are like the foundations for leadership. If we can put that in place, we'll be in a good place too. And lastly, about Tychicus. He was faithful to his call, but also to Paul's vision. His goal wasn't to draw people to himself. His goal wasn't to lift him up. His goal wasn't to address the audience and tell them all what Tychicus thought about something or another. His goal was to let them know what Paul thought about it. His goal was to minister. He was sent. He wanted the church to receive the gift of the one that sent him. And so he ministered faithfully Paul's heart. Guys, that's us. We can do that too. Cell leaders, don't just come with your own stuff all the time. Say, what is the vision? What is God saying to Lifespring? What's God saying to the leadership team? How can I convey and bring that to my people? Because when your people receive, you, as God's servant, and you are the one that's been sent, there's a reward that comes from heaven. Joe reminded of this last Thursday. You know, we won't go into all of that, but he reminded us, you know, there's a reward by receiving the man of God or the woman of God that has been sent. And I think the trouble is when we become family like we are here, I could never say this word, familiarity breeds contempt. Oh, it's only John. Oh, it's only Kate. Oh, it's only Jackie. And that's all we think of them as, rather than actually they're bringing the word of God to us. And we need to receive them as God's servants. And we will get the blessing of God in our lives as we do that. So, good old Tychicus. Lastly, he's described as a good friend. Friends love, friends care, friends protect, friends look out for each other, friends have fun, friends enjoy each other's company. Position or status doesn't affect friendship. And Tychicus was a good friend of Paul's. Let's be friends. Let's be friends with each other. Let's enjoy the relationship God is bringing to us. So, I hope you're picking up. Church is so much more than ministry. It's life. It's gospel. It's the gospel being shared on good foundations of friendships and relationships where we love God and we love each other. And as we come to the end of this letter, probably a circular letter, not to bring correction in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, but to remind, to encourage, to inspire, to strengthen the church. I want to say, LifeSpring, let's not settle. We have a vision from God to bring change everywhere we go. And if I change, everything changes. So, last couple of verses. Goodbye, friends. Love mixed with faith be yours from God the Father and from the Master, Jesus Christ. Pure grace and nothing but grace be with all who love our Master, Jesus Christ. Let's stand. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Wow. Lord, we've gone through the whole book. Not just boxes to tick, but hearts to change. And I want to thank you for revelation. I want to thank you for truth. To thank you for the practical things that we've been reminded of. I want to thank you for the incredible spiritual dimension which we're tasting and seeing. And Lord, as we go from this place, my prayer is we go as a church, making Jesus the highest in our lives, fulfilling his plans, his purposes in our families, in our marriages, and in our lives together. Lord, I believe with all my heart you are calling the church to be the hope of the world. Let us reflect that hope and your glory, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.